Got a little message on my heart. If you have your Bibles, I do want to say you can be turning to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And while you're turning there, I would like to say thank you for your giving and the offering last week. I wasn't even here, but they took us up a pastor's offering and do that once a month. And I sure appreciate that. And we thank you for your giving. And I pray the Lord to richly bless you for that. You're going to have to listen to me clear my throat a lot here today, but we'll mosey through this the best we can. Luke chapter 14. Amen. I'm trying to find a good place to start. Well, we can just go ahead and start at 16. This is a very familiar parable. Jesus spoke here. Luke chapter 14, starting somewhere around the neighborhood of 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. I want you to listen now to this story good. And he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Let me tell you something. God gives us an opportunity to come. Aren't you glad of that? Yes, I mentioned this earlier. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ offers every person that has ever breathed the breath of life to come. I believe that. Amen. And my dad tells me the story of my mom's dad. They called him Papaw Skeets. That was his nickname. And as far as I know, he died, and he never stepped a foot in the church in all of his life. Then somebody said, well, how's somebody like that have a chance? Well, he come across, who knows with who else, other preachers he came across, but he came across my Uncle Larry, and my Uncle Larry told him what the plan of salvation was in the gospel, in the Bible. And my grandpa said, he said these words. Now, I don't reverence these words, but my grandpa said, baloney on the Bible. Amen. That's what some people believe. They believe baloney on the Bible. But I tell you, I believe the Bible. Don't you? I believe the word of God. Amen. So he said, come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. Here's my message. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Well, he asked for excuse. Amen. Verse 19, another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go prove them. I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. He didn't even ask for excuse, if you notice that. Verse 21, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, let me tell you something. When the table sets and you ask somebody, and I noticed this from my own house, and that wife or that mother cooks that dinner and says it's time to eat, and folks ain't ready to eat, it makes her upset. Yeah. Woo, amen. The table was set. Supper was ready. The master said, I got it all set. And they did not come. So he was upset here. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and to the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Amen. I don't know if I'll have time to get into all this, but in Bible days, when people that had a little bit of money or what have you would carry a big dinner like this, a supper, and they would bid those that had something else, kind of like a business. You know, you pat my back, I'll pat yours. But when these people that had something didn't show up, he turned to the halt and the maimed and the blind. I tell you what, I'm so glad Jesus cares about the halt and the maimed and the blind. Aren't you? Great God. Amen. Commanded. And yet there, well, I'm getting it mixed up here. Amen. I lost my place. Besides all the above, I'm going blind too. Amen. Praise God. Go out into the streets quickly in the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Verse 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Verse 24, I know it's a lot of reading here today. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Amen. If the Lord would help us here today, I'm going to lay a little bit of a foundation and preach to us about excuses. Amen. But I need to say a little bit before I get there. Praise God. Amen. I believe one of the most important parts if not the important part of this service, the most important thing of any service is that the Spirit of God shows up. Amen. We need the Spirit of God. If the Holy Ghost doesn't come in this service today, Brother Daniel, we'll leave the same way we came. Amen. But if the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, amen, different people like to call it different terms, amen, the third person of the Godhead, amen, the Holy Ghost would show up in this service, I tell you what, he can lift a weight. He can save a soul. He can heal the sick. He can lift a heavy heart if the Holy Ghost shows up. Amen. Pray for me here today. Glory to God. Amen. But I realize all that. Amen. But we sort of have a plan. You know, we don't have a program, but we got an itinerary. If the Lord doesn't show up, what we do, we come in, we sing some songs. Some folks testify. If you get real excited, you might make a lap or two around the church. I'd like to see more of that, wouldn't you? Woo, amen. You get excited about somebody singing or somebody preaching, you might raise your hand and say, "Help him, Lord." Praise God. I like that old motorcycle gangster guy that got saved, old rough, long-headed, tattooed guy. Amen. Lived a life, rough life. Amen. And he got saved and he started coming to church. Amen. And then people in church was hollering, "Amen, help him, Lord." And that old rough fella didn't know what to do, Brother Earl. And he jumped up and he looked at the preacher and said, "You're the man, preacher, preach." Amen. "You're the man." Great God. So I tell you, everybody's got a different way of worshiping. But if you get excited, it's hard to tell what might happen in the house of the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. Saying all of that, Brother George, amen, this service we said you might have singing and preaching and worshiping and prayer requests, praying for the sick. But really, in the whole aspect of every service of a full gospel church, amen, we're full gospel, ain't we? We believe from Genesis to Revelation, don't we? Some people cut the old out and only believe the new, and some people believe the new, believe the old and don't believe the new. Amen. We're full gospel. We believe from Genesis to Revelation. Amen. If you can't find Genesis, Jesus in Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers and Joshua and Judges and you just name them all out. If you can't find Jesus in the Old Testament, as Sister Dottie already told us, you read again, you can find him in there, I promise you. Hallelujah. Great God. In heaven, I said you can find Jesus in the ark all the way back in Genesis, and you can find him in the book of Revelation, amen, near the end. Come, even so, come quickly, Lord. Great God, I come to tell us he's from the beginning, and he's all the way to the back of the book. Amen. Glory to God. But every aspect of this service, amen, is formed and it's molded for one major aspect that's going to happen in a few moments. And you know what that is? That's an altar call. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus thinks a lot about an altar call, doesn't he? Amen. Jesus never preached a message without giving an altar call. Amen. Jesus, great God, preached to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus climbed, or Zacchaeus climbed up in that tree. And guess what? Every message always is formed by the Earl. And it always comes down to one place. And he throws the ball in their court. What are you going to do with it? Amen. You heard the word. You heard the gospel. Now what are you going to do? Amen. Every service should have an altar call. Every gospel message, amen, comes down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen. And it molds and bends and convicts our heart and gets us in a place where we're ready to pray. Amen. And seek God or turn away from it. Hallelujah. And that's what was done here. Amen. This supper was made ready. The goodman of the house, I believe he put the best food that he had out there. And he said, "Go bid them to come." And it was the altar call was given. And the ball was put in their court. What are you going to do with it? Great God. I'm going to preach it. The Lord will help me here today. I feel a little bit better than I look. Amen. Feel a little bit better than I sound. Amen. But oh, they turned that gospel message away, Brother Earl, and they said, "I ain't got time for it." I wonder how many people down through the ages, amen, have gave the excuse, "I don't have time for it, Lord. Amen. Great God. I want to get some of them here. Amen. The first man said, and to him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. What a foolish man that he must have been. Amen. To have bought a piece of land, and then needed to go check it out after he bought it. Hey God, one of two things. He was very foolish, or he was a liar. Amen. I remember one of the only pieces of land I ever bought was over there in Kentucky. We had plans of building, moving to Kentucky. Amen. And Brother Bill John had told me where some land was. And I went over and searched Brother Earl. I'll never forget it. Amen. They told me about where the borders were. I climbed them hills, Brother George. But long before I was going to sink any money, I climbed to the top of them roads where they told me the border, 8.44 acres. Amen. I'm still nervous about it. I was just a young man. Amen, Brother Tommy. See, you know what I did? I went and got an older man that I had knew was a businessman. And knew how to, was wise with money. And I went and got Brother Johnny Justice. Amen. I guess old Brother Johnny was well past 80. He is about as round as he was tall. And believe it or not, he climbed. I didn't want him to climb them hills. I took him over here, Brother Earl. And I said, Brother Johnny, I've climbed these about here and here. And I showed him about where the borders were. And I said, now do you think this land is worth what they're asking for it? I told him a price. And he said, well, I'd like to get out here and look at it myself. He climbed 80 something years old, climbed up over them amen posts and them border lines with me, and after it's all said and done, he looked at me and smiled, and he said, if you don't want to give it for it, you let me know, I'll buy it. Hey, you know what that meant? That means it's worth every penny of it. Brother Johnny said, if you don't want to buy it, I'll buy it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know what all that saying is? I put the work in before I bought the land. And this man said, I can't come to the dinner. I bought some land and I got to go check it out. You know what he was saying was, I'm not interested. Hey God, I'm indifferent. My heart's not ready for what you got for me. It was just a poor excuse saying, I'm not interested. And I wonder here today, as the beckoning of the Lord comes down our heart, service after service, and we sit back and we can't be moved, and the Holy Ghost can't touch us. We don't have a desire to pray. We don't have a desire to get closer to God. You know what we're saying? I bought some land and I need to go check it out. Hey, I come to tell us right here on a Sunday afternoon, I feel like the Holy Ghost, amen, is saying, come, I've got the dinner ready. I've got the table spread. The only thing is, you got to come and you got to sit down and you got to eat of what I've got for you. Amen. Woo! Brother Earl, I don't care how good food is, you can't make somebody eat it. Oh, Brother Earl, like I said, he's a restaurant down there. Woo! He's a A1 man. I never forget it. I tell this on him. We went down there, and every steak he's ever ate in his life, he eats A1. He'd be like me and ketchup. And so we get down there, and done get all the orders that he ordered. And at the end of it, he says, when you bring that steak, be sure you bring me some A1. Woo. And a waitress looked at him and said, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have A1. His face dropped. His heart sunk. And I thought he was going to leave. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. He said over for the next 20 minutes, bummed out, because he didn't have A1 sauce. Amen. Until you know what, Brother George, they brought that steak. What he didn't know is, that old chef, he cooks it on that grill in front of you, he'll throw a piece in your mouth if you want it. Amen. But they do their little concoction. I don't know what and all they spray on that. They do all kinds of stuff. And he puts it on your plate. Great God. Hey, now nobody else had much interest in it. But I tell you, I can read people like a book, daughter, I get. I knew Brother Earl, he was just so flustered. He didn't even want to eat. Amen. Until they laid that steak on his plate. Amen. He was expecting the worst, but he received the best. Come on now. He put that steak in his mouth. And I've seen that face, you know, how he gives that. Amen. He is excited. Guess what? He ate every bite of that steak. Every bite of it. And not only that, I think he went back the next day. Amen. And got some more. No A1 or nothing. I said all that to say this. Amen. Come on. You can set the best out. But if somebody really don't take a bite and see how good it is. Hey, I come to tell us. I believe he's got it set out. I believe he's spread the table. I believe it's the best that heaven's got. The question is, how hungry are you? How much do you want it? Do you really want it? Do you really want to take a bite? Great God. Or are you indifferent and said, I bought a piece of land and I got to go look at it. Amen. Woo! I got to move on here. Amen. Woo! An inspection could have been done long before the purchase of the property. Amen. There was no sense of urgency. The love of possessions or wealth is another main reason. Jesus gave three, believe it or not, broad reasons here that cover much of the population today why people don't, amen, come after Jesus. Hallelujah. The love of possessions and wealth and money is a main reason why people don't come to Christ today. They feel though they don't need him. They are totally secure without him. They make their own money. They pay their own payments. They get their own jobs. They don't need the Lord. Great God. Oh, it was a love of possessions that caused Achan, amen, his life. It was the love of possession that cost Ananias and Sapphira their life. Oh, yes, to lose out God's best for them. Amen. It later led to Ananias, all of them, Achan, Ananias, Sapphira. It led to all three of their death because they had rather have possessions than they would God. Let me tell you something, church. I'm not here preaching against possession. You got to have a house. You got to have a place to live or rent an apartment. I understand all the above. But Jesus' problem was he had the table spread. Everything they needed was on that table. But they rather had possessions and wealth and property than they would to eat in the presence of God. Hey, I come to tell us right here today, somebody ask old brother Jason, would you rather have $1 million or feel the presence of God? That's a no-brainer. Don't insult me with a question such as that. I choose the presence of God and live under a rock cliff any day than everything the world has. I come to tell us right here today, church, God's got a table. And the question is, are you hungry? Woo! When the service is going on and people are indifferent, when the altar call is going on and people are indifferent, when the table's spread and you ain't hungry, what's the problem? Come on, bro. Now, Weston, he's a lot like Brother Roy's picky. But besides Weston's problem is you can't get him to try it. Unless it ain't some kind of bread or rice or something like that. He likes cereal. He likes very few things. Hey, man, he just ain't interested in trying it. Great God. Brother Tom said something several Thursday nights ago, and I told him, I said, Brother Tom, I enjoyed that. That really helped me. I never saw that. Brother John, Tom preached at John 6 and 66. Remember that? Amen. And he said that those people, amen, they walked with the Lord, Brother Earl. They talked with him. They went with him. Amen. Until, great God, he got to preaching things they didn't understand. He got to saying things that they couldn't go along with. And the Bible said they turned around, they walked away, and they went no more with the Lord. Why? Amen. Because he was getting in territory that they didn't understand. Brother Tom said this, and it struck a rung a bell in my heart. And Brother Tom said, not understanding Christ is not a reason not to follow Christ. Woo! I tell you what, whether you believe it or not, that's a profound statement. Amen. It doesn't matter what you understand. Believe it or not, I've been a preacher of the gospel since I've been 17 years old. I've preached the gospel since I was a kid, Brother Daniel. I've devoted my life to Jesus and the gospel's sake. Amen. But you know, I imagine there's well over half of this that I can't just spit out like a rabbi. I don't understand every single bit of it. Amen. But I've always approached it. I've always been taught to approach it like this. I may not understand it all, but I believe it all. Come on now. Amen. And Jesus will shine the light on it as you are ready. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm about to feel happy right here. I'm about to feel, amen, that Holy Ghost shut up in my bones right here on a Sunday afternoon. Amen. That's why I said every church should have those, amen, that need to be saved, those that just got saved, those that are seasoned, those that are growing and hungry. Every church should have that. You know why? Because any given service, any given altar call, the light can be turned on, the table can be spread, and Jesus will shine the light to different people at different times. Amen. And show you where you need to climb higher. Let me tell you something. When he shines the light on it, you'll never think about it in the same way you used to again. And once again, some things are personal conviction. I'm not preaching this to be sin, but I remember, Brother Tommy, the Lord was molding me to be a preacher at a young age. I was young, about 14, 15, I can't remember exactly. I was riding a four-wheeler, it was a common thing to do back home. Had a real short sleeve shirt on. I looked down at my arms, and I felt naked, Brother Tommy. I kept trying to hide my arms. Boy, I felt just as naked as I could be. Amen. Woo. Glory to God. You know what that was, Brother George? That was a light shining on me. Hey, God. Woo. I remember when I was in my bedroom and the Lord shined that light on me. Amen. I used to have a bedroom TV at the foot of my bed. Watched that TV day and night. Played video games day and night. Amen. Seemed like that thing kept hold of my time and my attention. Amen. Same thing happened on that. I was down there. I can't remember if I was playing a game or watching Michael Jordan slam dunk. I used to be a little, amen, white kid running around saying, I want to be like Mike. I can fly, I can fly, I can fly like Mike. Come on. Until one day, the Lord shined the light on that. Come on. And I kicked the one-eyed bandit out of my bedroom. Come on now. Amen. I kicked all the world out. And instead of wanting to fly like Mike, I had a cassette. This is old timey. Some of you younger ones, I'm getting somewhere in the middle now. Amen. We're talking for church. You can't even buy a car with a CD anymore. It's got to have a USB. Well, I remember cassette. Some of you remember 8-track. Come on now. Amen. I had a cassette tape player. We got all kinds of tapes from a church called the Highway of Holiness. Amen. They had used to have a tape ministry. And I got a bunch of tapes by a fellow by the name of Don Rich. And it smoked my heart. Get on holinesspreaching.com. It'd do you some good to listen to some old time holiness preaching. Glory to God. And he got to preaching, sucking the corn. And instead of wanting to fly like Mike, I wanted to preach like Rich. Hallelujah. Hey, the Lord shined the light on it in my life. And I come to preach to somebody right here today. He wants to shine the light. But the question is, are you hungry for the light of the Holy Ghost? You got to get hungry. And the hungrier you get, the more of the light he'll shine in your life. Woo! Glory to God. Oh, yes, I got to move on. I got two more to get to here. Amen. Well, the next man, verse 19, had a professional pursuit for work. Well, I would come to church, but I got to work. So somehow, some way, we've mixed up in today's society that work is the most important thing in life. Woo! Well, I'm here to tell you today, it's false. Amen. There's nothing more important than Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I must go and prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And this man was also a fool. This man was also a liar. Amen. A fool or a liar. It would be very foolish to prove 10 yoke of oxen after you purchase them. Come on, Brother George. That's about like them people, Brother George, come to you paying big money for a squirrel dog and said, I'm going to take your word on it. Here's some money. I'm going to buy you a dog. I'll go try her out later. Hey, God. Let me tell you, I never bought a squirrel dog. I used to love coon hunting. But let me tell you, ain't no way in the world I'm going to give big money for a coon dog unless I took him out several times and he knows how to tree a coon. Come on. Now, this fella must have been a liar, Brother Earl, or he was a fool one. Amen. To spend his money to buy a whole yoke of oxen. And now he said, I don't have time for the dinner. I don't have time, Jesus, for you. Amen. Because I've got to work. Great God. Let me tell you something. That's why families are ripped apart. That's why America's going down the drain. Because we put everything, amen, ahead of God in today's society. Woo! Now, we have church at 2 o'clock, so you don't have much excuse to go rushing out early because you got to work tomorrow. You got time to get home, take shower, and all that. But through the years, I've been in services where about 9 o'clock hits. Great God, half the crowd leaves because they got to work when the light of God's shining. Woo! Hey! I know I ain't got much help here today, but I'm already past that point where I don't need none. Amen. Glory to God. About half the church leaves. Amen. The table spread. The lights are shining. The Holy Ghost is being poured out. The drawing power of God is in the house. But we gotta work. Oh, I come to tell us here today, it's far less than that. It's stealing your joy. It's far less than that. It's pulling you away from God. But he said, I can't come to the biggest dinner of my life because I got to work. Woo. Wow. Oh, God. Raise your hand and pray for me here. I'm trying to follow the will of the Lord here. Jesus, touch us here tonight. God, this is important. You laid this on my heart, God. I need to preach it. Hallelujah. Ooh. Amen. Many people use their job as an excuse for not coming to church, for not accepting Christ, for not selling out, giving everything they got. Amen. Timothy 6 and 10 says, for the love of money is the root to all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Great God, I come to tell us here today, amen. Oh, I'd like to come to the dinner, amen, but I can't. I got to work. I bought some land. I got to go take a look at it. I'd like to come, but really what they were saying is, I don't have time. It's not the best of season for me. It's not a convenient time. Great God in heaven, I come to tell us, when will it be convenient? When will life work out? Then everything will fall in place. It'll never. You got to make it work. You got to make time for God. You got to make time for your children. You got to make time to pray. You got to make time to read. Great God, I come to tell us, God said, I'm not going to take your excuse on Judgment Day. Woo! That's what Felix said. Felix said, Acts, look at it later, 24:24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent forth Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul preached the gospel to Felix. Amen. And he reasoned of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. And when I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee. Amen. Now we're getting to the serious part of the service. Amen. Guess what? I never read, Brother Tommy, where Felix ever had a second chance.
Felix never had another. He heard the gospel message. The table was spread. The light was shining. And he said, I ain't got time. Amen. I've got a job that I got to do. I got land that I got to look after. If time is not good, come back another day, Paul, and preach. I'll get saved another day.
But another day never came. Now, come to preach to you here. The Lord spoke to my heart yesterday evening, afternoon. I was sitting upstairs studying, reading. I was debating on this message and another message on Jacob. And I felt like today the Lord confirmed this one to me. The Lord spoke to my heart yesterday afternoon. I want you to look at this, Brother Tommy. I think I might have endeavored these scriptures in the past, but I've never seen this. Amen. It gets on later down there in the last verse I read to you in this text. Amen. Luke chapter 14 here. Amen. The last of my text verse said that that husbandman, Brother George, he got mad. He got upset because they didn't come. And he said, they will never eat at my supper table. What does that mean? That means they had their opportunity and they missed it. Now, I'm not here preaching everybody, you turn God away one time, you're forever, amen, never be able to get back. But I tell you what, when God spreads the table, and he's got the dinner ready, and the Holy Ghost is moving, and the light's shining, he don't have to give you another opportunity. The opportunity is there. The choice is yours. What are you going to do with that choice? What are you going to do? Are you going to climb higher? Or are you going to draw away? I remember the Lord dealt with me and dealt with me to preach. I told a little bit of this the other night. I think up in Richlands. Well, George, I ran from the call to preach at least 2 years. And I started preaching when I was 17. So somewhere around 15 or a little younger, I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. But I didn't talk good. I still don't talk good. I used to stutter real bad. I still stutter some. I'm just an old hick from Mingo County, Gilbert, West Virginia. Amen. But anyway, I remember, Brother George, the light shined one Sunday morning. The light shined on me and said, now I've called you to preach. What are you going to do with it? Now, I don't know what would happen. I'm glad I responded to the table set. But I went home after that Sunday morning service, and I knew my uncle already fed them horses after Sunday school. And I went out there in that old barn, and I was just all tore up. I was nervous. And I said, Brother Larry, I got something to tell you. He said, what's that? I said, well, it's hard to explain, you know, just I'm all nervous. And I said, but this morning, I said, I feel like the Lord's been calling me to preach for some time. Amen. And I said, and this morning, the light shined on it. And I said, well, I feel like the Lord said, it's time, this now or never, preach for me. My Uncle Larry bawled up tears running down his eyes. And he said, what took you so long? He said, everybody knew you was called to preach but you, I guess. He said, well, amen. Guess what he did? Amen. Brother Earl, it's where them old timers were. He said, get ready. Go home. Get ready. You're preaching tonight. Amen. Woo! You're talking about nervous wreck. I was nervous wreck all day long. Amen. And I went home and tried to pray and tried to study. Amen. Preach the gospel that night. But what I'm trying to tell you is there comes a time that's serious in your life. There's opportunities that only come once in a lifetime. And if you turn that opportunity away, amen, the table will never be spread again. Great God, don't turn away the draw of the Lord. Don't turn away the pull of the Holy Ghost. Don't turn away that upward pull and that upward draw and that upward call of God. Don't turn it away. These men never got another chance to sit at the table. Wow. Never got another chance to sit at that table. Wow. Man, I feel the Lord here. Raise your hand and help me here. Oh, God, help us, Lord. This is an important service right here tonight, Lord. I feel the draw of the Holy Ghost in this house right here today. Oh, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, I pray. Jesus. Hey, amen. I hadn't even got through my three men yet. Hey, amen. Finally, people or women, hey, amen, will get in your way. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Don't let people get in the way of you and the table. I'm going to give you young boys and you young girls some advice. Listen to me. I'm not here with no ulterior motive. But if you want to have a good life, And if you want to have a happy life, you put God first and keep God first. And then everything else will work out. What I'm trying to say is, it's very important, sir. Amen. What wife you pick out. It's very important, ma'am. What husband you pick out. It'll determine your relationship for God for the next 50 years. Amen. Who you choose to marry. All right. Well, they believe in Jesus and they're saved. They're Christian. Amen. They don't go to church. Amen. Once or twice a year. X. Mark that one off the list. Woo! Well, they're a Baptist, and they believe once you pray and get saved, you're saved the rest of your life. X. Mark that one off the list. Let me tell you something. You better find somebody who believes like you believe, or it'll be a constant battle for the rest of your life. Woo! Wow. Let me tell you something. And you better know what they believe. There's some things you got to discuss before marriage. And I'm not here being a marriage counselor all of a sudden. But you got to discuss finances. Who's going to work and who ain't going to work and what you believe in all that. You got to discuss debt and what you believe in all that. So, you know, one of the main reasons of divorce in America is because of debt today. People get themselves so much sunk in debt, and they can't pay the bills. Great God. Let me tell you something. I'd rather have low debt, amen, and high functionality to be able to do what I want to do than be sucking so much debt that my life, I feel like a slave. Woo! Now, people don't preach on money and debt and stuff like that. But great God, before you get yourself sunk in a lot of debt, you better pray and think about them things. Do you really need that new car? Do you really need that new dress? Do you really need all that? I told Michelle a while back, amen, the more I look into that minimalistic lifestyle, I like it. I just need a pair of blue pants, black pants, gray pants, and a couple shirts. Now, Michelle's going to get on to me here because I got a closet full of shirts, but most of them I've outgrown. They're sitting there for a rainy day. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you is I don't think we need near as much as we think we need. Woo! I'd like to tell you something now. Take it from a middle-aged man. I'm not young and I ain't old. I'm somewhere in the middle. Take it from somebody that I have lived pretty well long enough. I've worked long enough. I know a little bit. It don't take things to make you happy.
You're right there. Come on, brother.
One of these days you're going to grow up and them kids are going to be gone. I heard a fellow say something one time. And he said, if a kid moves out when they're 18, you only got 18 Christmases with that child. You look at a lifetime of a child, that narrows it down. 18 Christmases is all you got. Now, I moved out when I was 18, and my mom reminds me of it all the time. 18 Christmases, Brother Tommy. That's not a lot, is it? 18 years flies before you know it. If you count all the time they're in school, and you count the time they're out cutting the grass, and you count the time of sleeping, you don't have a long time with them children. And I believe one of these days, having a relationship with that boy, that girl coming back home, amen, loving mom and dad for loving them and raising them right is way more important than what she was able to buy.
Right.
Mom and dad works every day. Mom's gone. Dad's gone. Everybody's gone. Kids raised by a babysitter in Hollywood. And then one day we realize, amen, that our kids, life is disaster. Amen. And I've given them cars and I've given them four-wheelers and I've given them everything in the world besides what they need, your time and love.
Right.
Woo! Wow. Now I'm giving you way more than you bargained for today. He said, I can't come. I've married a wife. Why can't you take her with you? Let me tell you something, sir. Amen. If you're too embarrassed to take your wife with you anywhere in life you go, amen, there's something wrong with you. Let me tell you something, ma'am. If you're embarrassed of your husband and you can't take him anywhere with you, there's something the matter with your relationship. Woo. Wow. Amen, Brother Jason. Excuses. I got to move on here. I'm coming down to the serious part of this service. And they had an opportunity that never presented itself again. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Amen. There are calls that when that call comes in, the way you respond to it will determine the rest of your life. If I had not responded to the call to preach that day, I remember it was in June, I think June of 1999. If I hadn't responded to that call, my life wouldn't be what it is today. My life would be a totally different. I'd be a totally different place than I am right now. There's opportunities that come that will determine the course of your life. What are you going to do with that opportunity? Amen. There are refusals once made are made forever. Amen. I think of how foolish it is to tamper with the patience and the love of God. Our Lord is gracious, but He's not a beggar. Moody once said that a man may excuse himself into hell, but he will never excuse himself out of hell. Wow. Never forget that the altar call is one of the most important things God has ever done for a man when it puts you in front of God. That's what the altar call does. I think anything is easier to take in life. Amen. But here's the question. Why are you indifferent? Why are you happy-go-lucky? Why are you approaching the most serious thing in your life with indifference? Well, if I get closer to God, that's all right. And if I don't, that's all right. No. You're looking at the wrong one. There's people who live within 100 miles from the Niagara Falls that have never stepped foot over there and looked at it. Indifferent. They don't care. There's people that put their kids in a school system somewhere that teaches against creation. And they put their kids in a school system and they never go down there to school and check out what's going on. They just let their kid be raised up in a system such as that. And they're so indifferent, it doesn't matter. Let me tell you something. I've got too much invested in my children to let some stranger brainwash their mind. Woo! Great God in heaven. I tell you what, we're coming down the line here today. Amen. They lacked courage to say, no, I will not come. They simply, amen, gave an alibi that was incorrect or false or foolish. Every gospel preacher gives the invitation to come and see the table spread. What are you going to do with it? You need to be thinking about it. The Lord's dealing with hearts right here, right now. And we're getting ready to come to this very place. The table spread. The husbandman has the best that he has available. What are you going to do with it? Indifference kills a business. Oh, yeah. Indifference will destroy a marriage. You take that third generation wealthy grandson. His dad, blood, sweat, and tears, built a business. The son was coasting along on what the dad did. And by the time it gets to the third, sometimes fourth generation, they get indifferent. They have no desire for what grandpa did. And indifference ruins that business. I see it right now with Chandler's. Chandler's done sold out to a German company. I tell you, John Chandler, Brother Tommy, I cut the grass till the old man died. 90-some years old, and he went to work every day of his life till the last year or two. Until he just got so weak he couldn't go to work. That man loved cabinets. Hey, man. That's all he thought about was cabinets and how to sell them and how to do better. And that's all them Chandler brothers thought about was cabinets. Well, their son come along. It was okay. Dad taught him the ropes, and it was okay. But now, the third generation, they don't have nobody wants to run it. Amen. Indifference. Let me tell you something. Indifference will kill you too. How come you don't have a desire to do better? How come you don't have a desire for spiritual things? How come you don't have a desire to eat at the table? Indifferent means no concern, lack of interest, happy-go-lucky. Come to church and say, well, if we have a good service, okay. If we don't, that'll be all right, too. I got to work tomorrow. That's indifference. Whatever happened to people come to church with a desire of the Lord, enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving, come through the doors with the praise on your lips, saying, I thank you, Jesus, you let me step another foot in your house another day. I thank you, Jesus, you brought me to your house. I'm able to worship you another, sir. Whatever happened to people like that? Whatever happened to people that when that preacher's got up here, amen, sweated, okay, God, voice hoarse, amen, and do all that the preacher does, and he gives that altar call, and people sits there and yawns and thinks about the grocery list. Stand with me in this house. Oh God.
Thank you, mighty God.
Oh God. Amen. Don't get lukewarm. Don't get indifferent. Amen. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost will come in this house and he'll shine the light. Come, for all things are now ready. Did you hear that? Come, for all things are now ready. Brother Tommy's talked to us here today. We've had several singers. They've sung to us here today. Sunday school teachers has went back here and taught these little ones here today. We've had a lot happening here in the last 2 hours and 10 minutes. But the most important thing that's going to happen in this service today is getting ready to happen in the next 5 to 10 minutes. What are you going to do between you and God? Are you going to leave this service today with the same indifference and the same lack of desire for more of God in your heart and life? Or are you going to leave here and say, great God, I'm going to go home and I'm going to turn it up a notch. I'm going to catch on fire for God. Yes. Bow your head with me and pray. I preach to you in my heart, Lord. I thank you for this congregation today. I preach to him, Lord, the burden that I feel like you laid on my heart sometime yesterday afternoon, sitting upstairs on top of that garage. Lord, I feel like this is important right here, right now. God, would you magnify this opportunity to someone? Maybe some young person never felt this draw on their heart. Maybe some middle-aged person. Maybe some elderly person never felt quite this draw. Shine that light on them, Lord. Draw them closer. Make your experience real to them right here today. Who is it? Who is it? You feel that? I feel that. I know you have to feel that. I feel that. Oh, God. Now, what are you going to do with it? The table's spread. The husbandman said, come. Come, come, come. She's playing. Music is playing. Magnify this opportunity, Lord, right here today. Magnify this opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Some young person needs to step out of that seat, come up here and get in this altar. Say, I surrender all. I give you all my life. Come on, ma'am. Come on, sir. Are you going to swallow your pride and get up here in this altar and say, God, here's every bit of me. I ain't holding nothing back right here, Lord. I'm going to eat at your table. I'm going to do things your way. Come on, come on, come on. I'm pulling. I'm reaching. I'm begging. I'm asking. Lord, magnify this opportunity. Draw them that's furthest away right now to this table. Come on, come on, come on. I'm waiting on you. Come on, come on. There should be folks moving right now. There should be people moving. Amen. In these altars right here today. Come on, saints of God. Come on, come on. Woo. Come on, saints of God. Move in these altars right here today. Come on, come on. Come on, come on. Some opportunities never come more than once. Some opportunities never come more than once. Oh. Shout.
Lord.